Hello, bonjour, and welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Valley, like a valley but spelt differently, and you are currently listening to La Bonne Heure with myself. I am currently located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people, and over the next hour we are going to be chatting with Ron Gallo, as well as listening to a lot of his music. So stay tuned. Up first, we have one of his songs, which is called Hide. Here it is. Thank you so much for coming in for an interview today. I'm here with Ron Gallo to talk a little bit about your latest album, Piecemeal, as well as just music in general. Nice to have you with us.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
I thought we could start off with a couple of more like fun get to know you questions. So the first one is you've talked a lot about, you know, style and clothing, and you really do embrace like color and everything. I was wondering if, thinking back, you have a favorite outfit that you've ever worn?
Oh man. In different phases, there's usually like an outfit that I get really obsessed with and I wear it constantly for months. First thing that came to mind, I have this like mustard one piece jumpsuit that I wore for most of an entire tour. My other favorite outfit probably, which it's coming up on the season, but I found this 80s, it's like bright orange and white striped, like matching top bottom short. It's shorts, orange and white striped shorts with a matching short sleeve sweatshirt. And it's bright orange. That's probably my favorite current thing.
Okay.
I'll be looking in that soon.
I'll keep an eye out for the maybe pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I actually wore it there. A video I made from the album for the song Easter Island. I wear it in that video. So That was during my obsessive phase with that one.
I'll make sure to go watch that right after the interview just to see the outfit. So you have taken like a trip around the world. You settled for quite a while in Italy. So I know that Italy would be maybe a general favorite, but I was wondering if you have a favorite place, maybe a favorite city that you discovered during that period of your time.
Yeah, Italy is where I spent a good portion of time, and I got to see a lot more cities in the country than I normally get to on tour, but a couple of my favorites that jumped out, Lausanne, Switzerland, or just Switzerland in general, I really love. I really love Utrecht and Amsterdam. And really, Chiara and I went to London back in, God, I can't even remember now. It feels like lifetimes ago. But we went to London for a few days. Normally on tour, I just am in for a day and out. I never get to see anything. We got to explore for 3 or 4 days, and I actually really like it there too.
You also skateboard, so I was wondering what your favorite trick to do is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mostly a cruiser now. I'm just too afraid of breaking all my limbs and like the repercussions that would have. So I will venture out, you know, I'll like, you know, throw a little pop shove it. Maybe a kickflip if I'm feeling brave. I'm just constantly worried of landing primo and then destroying myself with kickflips. But we'll go frontside 180 or pop shove it as like safe fun.
Going a little bit further into maybe your background as a musician, I was wondering when you discovered this passion for music and performing, and also when you decided that that's what you wanted to pursue with your life.
As a kid, it started for me with writing, like pen to paper writing. And then I think later in high school is when I kind of discovered blending the two, like my dabbling on guitar at the time and like knowing a few chords mixed with like kind of the stream of conscious and the writing that I was doing. So initially writing songs was the thing that really lured me in, aside from being a good guitar player or a good singer. But I think it was probably in my first bands in high school where, even though I had no natural skill at all, and it's been very much a learning curve for me, playing in bands, just the whole concept of it, I think that's when I realized pretty quickly that it's what I wanted to do. And then it took me a very long time to get to a point where I was half decent at it. Yeah.
So it's been like a gradual coming to terms with that's what you wanted to pursue. I like that.
Yeah, with like tons of resistance too. The first time I ever performed music in front of people was the audition for the talent show in high school. And a friend of mine and I, I'd gotten okay at playing guitar, but it was me and my friend Dan, and he was a really good guitar player. And we put together this medley of a bunch of songs, and I decided that I was going to sing and play rhythm guitar, and he was going to play lead. And at the end of the audition, they said, "We'll let you do the talent show as long as you perform instrumentally." So basically saying, don't sing. So that was the beginning for me. And then it's just been a perseverance, just like a slow breaking through and self-discovery. And I just never stopped, you know.
Did you perform instrumentally at the show? How did that go?
We did. It was fine. It was just a blur because I, you know, never had played in front of a crowd before. And I remember my friend who I was playing with was like, he probably sweat like 50 gallons during that, just from like the nerves. Yeah, it was just a blur. I really don't even remember.
For those of you just tuning in, I am currently chatting with Ron Gallo. And before we get right back to the interview, here is his song, One Day.
Time.
music for quite a while. And how would you say overall your music has evolved or progressed from when you first started releasing tracks?
My approach is completely different. You know, the first few records that I put out under my name, which I guess there's three of them now, were all kind of done with a live band in the studio kind of approach. With this latest record, it was the exact opposite. It was me in a room, experimenting, doing everything myself, playing everything myself. And the whole process was kind of a learning how to trust myself to do everything. Whereas before, I always felt like I had to rely on other people to ever make a recording. So that's the biggest difference, I think, in the process between before and now.
If you had to look back at all the performances that you've done, maybe not including your first ever talent show, but would you say maybe you have a best show memory and maybe a weirdest show memory?
When you said best, the first one that came to mind was playing Bonnaroo in 2018. That was kind of like a redemption show because we played in 2016 and we were so, it was a huge thing for me and the band. Like, we never played a festival before. It was all very new. And we got invited to play. And about 10 minutes before we went on, there was a lightning storm. So they evacuated the entire festival. And we're like, no, like all the buildup to then just falling flat. And we did get to play, but it was, the crowd was all outside, mm-hmm. pretty much. So when we went back in 2018, you know, between that time, the record had come out. We had pretty much been all around the world at least once touring. And there's all this excitement and momentum around like doing it for the first time. So when we went back to Bonnaroo in 2018, you know, we weren't playing in like the weird little kid's tent on the side. We were on like a really nice stage, and living in Nashville, Bonnaroo is kind of the hometown festival. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like this really triumphant kind of welcome home from tour hometown show, but it was at Bonnaroo. And it was just packed, and just one of those shows where everything just feels right. You're in the moment, not nervous. And it's really, you know, it was just everything clicked. And that's probably one of my fondest show memories. Weirdest, oh man, so many. I've played shows in outlet malls, casinos, God, we played a show in a casino like a few years ago to pretty much no one, but it was the most incredible looking backdrop. It looked like Lord of the Rings meets like Disney World meets Legends of the Hidden Temple. And it, like, the production was incredible, but there was no one there. And it was a casino in Connecticut. That's some weird shit.
You're currently tuned into La Bonne Heure with Valley here on CITR 101.9 FM. Right before we get back to chatting with Ron Gallo, here is his song, Easter Island.
Got Easter Island inside me, but lately I'm choosing to spend my time in Manhattan back alleys. Everyone has the same guitar, different case. Everyone has a glass jar, some crack, different paint, holding a pickled soul, stress vinegar fermenting. I don't want to be the furniture, I want to be the space. I don't want to be the flowers, I want to be the base. And hold you while you wither away. No, 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 I can't live like this anymore. Could have been the goods, but up in the store. Could have been the ceiling, but I've been on the floor. There's no dust up there, clean freak. Not a day passes, not dictated by what people think of me. I've got Easter Island, desert surrounding Santa Fe, a mountain of evergreens, white sands, Joshua Tree inside me. But I've been living in the back alleys, Chinatown, Los Angeles, traffic jams. Guess I've got to move, guess I've got to choose. I don't want to be the furniture, I want to be the space. I don't want to be the flowers, I want to be the base. And hold you while you wither. We'll be right back.
Los Angeles and Manassa, Vista, Neverland, Marvel, Phoenix, Philly, doesn't matter really, mom's house, your house, wherever the sun is out, Dubai, hello, I know no matter where I go, I take myself with me.
So you mentioned living in Nashville, and you have moved around quite a bit throughout your life. Where would you say you found the most maybe inclusive and just the best music scene out of all of those different places?
Different places at different times. Before I left Philly, I feel like the scene was really exciting and diverse and welcoming, and there's so much cool stuff happening from so many different people and lots of new people coming into Philly. And then when I first moved to Nashville, my first year there was a really, really exciting time. There was a lot of really cool DIY, like warehouse venues that lasted for 6 months to a year before they got shut down. And the whole culture around them, there's a place called The Meal Ticket and run by friends of mine. And it was just such, there was such a scene around that place of bands that never would share a bill or on a bill and people gathering that would never normally gather. And I thought it was such a beautiful, like, melting pot. And then when that closed, I felt like Nashville sort of kind of started to lose its luster a bit. And now I'm back in Philly and I need to kind of retap into the scene, which there is no scene anywhere right now. But I'm hoping that Philly still has it going on.
Speaking a little bit about music and scene, but also the music industry, I know that you have a few thoughts on how the music industry works. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this year there's been a lot of perspective on it because artists, without touring in the picture, the floor has been kind of pulled out. And everyone that I know has realized without touring, we're not on any solid ground of sustainability. Meanwhile, every label, Spotify, Amazon, all these corporations are not worried at all, but every artist I know is. And so that's really exposed the flaw in that the way the industry is structured is very, which a lot of industries are, it's trickle up where the, you know, the artists are basically at the bottom and make the art. And then all the people above are the ones that actually profit off of it. And then the artists don't. And it's the same thing with Amazon delivery drivers. They're the ones actually bringing the product to the consumer, which is the only thing that matters in the whole relationship. Yet the CEO, whatever, Jeff Bezos, richest guy in the world. And yeah, that's just a really backward structure. I'm hoping that at least what I've learned during this time is like how to value myself again as an artist and just people in general that are in these situations where it's, you know, you are devalued. Yeah. And I don't know where that's going to go, but like I said, I mean, I just think that if anyone's in a situation where they feel like it's unfair treatment or the structure is kind of backwards, to not be afraid to speak out about it or to value yourself enough to just walk away from it. If nothing else, you'll be respected maybe. But yeah, I just hope to see, I hope to see the future of the industry coming back into artists' hands. And I hope the future of all industries coming back into people's hands. Mm-hmm. And I hope that's what we can take from this pandemic where everything is crumbled. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I definitely think that once COVID is gone, hopefully shows coming back will be a huge part of artists regaining that independence a little bit, because there definitely has to be a lot of reliance on the industry during this time if you want to stay afloat. So fingers crossed.
Yes, same.
Kind of going from more of a deep topic to maybe more lyrical, more musical influences. I was wondering who you would say are your current musical influences.
Oh, it's always changing. You know, I guess in talking about the newest record, you know, I was sort of blending a lot from a lot of different realms of influence that I haven't explored in music I've made. You know, whereas like the previous records, I was taking a lot from early punk, The Stooges, Richard Hell, Patti Smith, Velvet Underground. Now I'm kind of exploring what I grew up on, which is like 90s hip hop, a lot of jazz like John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Bill Evans. But then from a lot of modern things as well, like from a production standpoint, I'm really inspired by Tyler, the Creator. I think just like sonically, visually, everything that he's done is just something where I look at it and I'm like, it just really speaks to my brain and kind of like my taste. So that's been a big one with this record. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a whole world around what he does. I mean, other artists I think are in a similar box, but Jeff Buckley has been a long running influence. Iggy Pop, Lauryn Hill.
Here is Ron Gala with Can We Still Be Friends before we get back to the interview.
Sorry to get back to you sooner.
Can we still be friends now that I can't help you?
Can we?
Can we still be friends now that I can't help you?
Can we?
Moths flock to an electric flame, then farewell when the batteries fade. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm just sitting in my backyard in the rain. Roaches scatter when I turn on the lights, half blink and they're out of sight. No, this is not a metaphor. I'm just looking for a snack at midnight. So much since I've been hanging out in the shadows. Yeah, it could be these crazy schedules alternating on and off days. I'll ask you straight, since it's so hard to tell the truth. Can we still be friends now that I
solid ground now, but from your ladder it just looks like I don't matter. Who's real? Finding out too fast. You used to let it make me feel 1 inch tall, but now I just want to thank you all for giving me no choice but to believe in myself. You need a ride? Sorry, I don't take plastic. Okay, watch me fly.
Bye. So you mentioned the new album and genres in the new album. So Piecemeal came out quite recently, and there are a lot of those different genres in that one album. So you have some jazz in there, you have some 90s hip hop, there are those pop elements. How are each of those genres represented in the album or in maybe individual songs?
That's a really good question. Because when I started to make it, I kind of wanted to break it into sections. So drum and rhythm wise, that's sort of the hip hop influence. And then sort of the chords of the songs and were the jazz influence. Melodically, I think is where like the pop elements come from. Yeah, and then just sort of sprinkling in just some, you know, spoken word stuff, kind of some connection to what I've done previous, you know, sort of experimental weirdo kind of punk influences, kind of keeping them alive. And so, yeah, like different genres are kind of represented in different instruments, and then how they kind of all like Frankenstein together.
I like Frankenstein. That's a really great way of putting it. And so you mentioned that you wanted to kind of do it in these different parts. And I was wondering more broadly, do you kind of approach each album with, in this album, I want to have these genres portrayed and shown, or do they just kind of come up throughout the creative process?
It usually starts with me asking myself, what am I really into? What do I really like at a given moment? And what feels genuine? Mm-hmm. And then starting to create music from that perspective. And that's definitely what I did here, was basically forgetting everything I did before and like clean slate, just saying, what do you like right now? Doesn't matter if you're qualified or if you did anything like it before. And that's where it started. And then I, you know, just started experimenting within the realms we've been talking about, and it just kind of happened. Yeah.
Could you talk to me a little bit more about the creative process? You said, you know, you just kind of start writing it and everything. Do you work by yourself when you're writing songs, when you're producing, recording, or is it more of a collaborative process?
It's always been pretty solitary. All these songs were written, I was basically in my house by myself for 3 months straight. I got sent back to Italy because of some visa issues. Well, I was planning on staying there for a while. So I got sent back unexpectedly. And I was just like, I'm in my house. The only way to kind of deal with this time mentally is just start working on music. So yeah, I would just wake up every day, and most of the day was just kind of spent doing that. And I would just say, oh, what kind of song you want to make today? What's going on in your head today? And just make stuff. And so I started making a bunch of demos in GarageBand, all myself, playing everything. After I pretty much wrote everything, I went back to Italy and I worked a little bit in the studio there, and I got some guest musicians, you know, some like proper studio elements. And then I took it back home, and then I finished the record working with a producer in Atlanta named Ben Allen remotely, right in the beginning of like the quarantine period, March of last year. And so, yeah, it's kind of like a hodgepodge process.
And so for someone who hasn't listened to the album yet, if you were trying to explain what themes and topics it's about, what would you say?
It's pretty introspective and existential. You know, it's a lot about the thoughts that you have when you are kind of by yourself and you can't hide behind anything. And you're just looking in the mirror at yourself, looking at stuff you really don't want to see, stuff that maybe you should. And it's dressed up in this kind of really joyous, colorful sounding way. So they're pretty opposites, like self-decomposition, self-introspection mixed with like really colorful, joyful sounds.
I wanted to talk a little bit about that contrast between the, as you said, more like vulnerable lyrics versus the really upbeat melodies. They are very personal songs and very personal like themes. Have you always been this vulnerable and open in your music, or is this something that you're learning to do as you progress?
I'm definitely learning. I'm traditionally been a very external looking, like more of an observational songwriter, social commentary, looking at the outside world and critiquing it, or my issues with humanity at large. And this is the first time where I actually turned that inward on this record. So this is new for me, new territory. Yeah, at least for right now, it feels like the most, I guess, honest thing to do. So feels right.
And I know a lot of times people get the question, you know, what's your favorite song that you've written, or what favorite song on the album? I was wondering if you have a favorite lyric.
Oh, on the record?
It can be on the record. It could be one of your past songs as well, if you want.
That's tough. I think probably All the Punks Are Domesticated, the last track, which is a remade version of a song that is on my first record. I kind of redid it and updated it for 2020. That song lyrically was one of those kind of magical moments for me where it just kind of poured out. And I feel like everything that I was saying was exactly what I wanted to say. So I think I have to go with that one. I feel like it's one of those songs where you really feel like I summed it all up. And that doesn't happen a lot for me. Like it's always the constant battle to try to do that.
And what's next for you now that you've put out this album, in terms of virtual performances, music videos, anything like that?
probably going to make a video for the song Can We Still Be Friends. Got a collaboration remix with a band called Sports coming out next month. There's a little bit of talk of doing some very small, safe outdoor shows in May in the U.S. And there's talk of doing an actual tour in November, December of this year. With vaccines and everything, people seem hopeful that it might be possible by then. So musically, that's really all I got planned. The only other plan I have is, as soon as Kiara has her visa or her green card to be able to travel out of the country again, we're going to go back to Italy and spend some time with her family and go to the beach, hopefully this summer. That's all I got.
Wonderful. Do you think Vancouver would be on that tour potentially?
It always is. And I think it would be. Yeah. As long as it takes us to the West Coast. Absolutely. I love Vancouver. I love the whole Northwest area. It's one of my favorite parts of North America. So I got to make it happen. Hopefully. I mean, nothing's in our control, but
yeah, we'll try. Fingers crossed. Well, thank you so much. This has been lovely chatting to you, and I'm very excited to see what's up next.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you. And yeah, I mean, I hope we do get to see you in real life in 2021. Keep you posted.
You Are Enough by Ron Gallo. It was so wonderful getting to chat to him all about his music and his latest album, which is called, for those of you who definitely want to go and check it out, Piecemeal. Up next, we have a couple more songs for you. Up first, we have I Love You Too Much by Mikkelin, and afterwards, we have Blue by Carlin Ray.
I just wanted everything to be okay, like it used to be. Oh, push my feelings to the side and walk away to avoid the pain. Words that I don't say.
Up next, we have a song called Cheers by Sasha, followed by If You Were Here by Shell and Molly.
Cheers, 'cause the night has just begun. If you're looking for some fun, go ahead and grab someone. To the lady in leopard dancing up on the bar, she turned 87, started smoking cigars. Guy in the
And with that, I hope you have a great rest of your evening, night, day, wherever you're tuning in from. Thank you so much for listening to La Bonne Heure with Valley here on CITR 101.9 FM. See you soon. Bye.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We'll be right back.
You win. C-I-T-R-Y. drip slowly down my chest. The questions you won't ask, I gaze so deep into the mess. The air is thick with what we've done, and day comes suddenly. We crystallize our shapes to shine.
Desks of desperation, where the pens are giving chase. I see the drops of sweat are forming at the corners of your face. You know, I never thought that treason could leave someone so bored. Sign the treaty, you drew the sword. I've already gone where you've been. I've already gone where you've been. And I'm not going back. There was every single editor. Is in itself absurd.